Look at a courageous journey. And Deuteronomy prepared God's people for the task ahead in the promised land. And the book of Joshua shows how God brought his people into the land and would give them rest, bringing them into the promises. Really, this functions as a bridge between the wilderness wanderings and entering into the promises and the rewards of the Lord. They're leaving the wilderness experience. The book is named after Joshua, whom God chose to be Moses' assistant and then successor. And the book of Joshua shows how and why Israel would eventually end in exile. The Bible, this book, is a reminder that if we are not living in faith, but in sin and rebellion, it always brings unfortunate consequences. And so this is a book of beginnings, what happens to a nation, God's nations of Israel. What happens when you have a nation of naysayers and critics and the complainers, they pass away there in the wilderness, and you move forward, and God advances a nation. If we want to advance in our Christian life, gain the promises of God, we must do it according to God's economy. God gives the instructions. And he does so through obedience and faith. And Israel missed out on many blessings because of disobedience and lack of faith. And as we are in this dispensation, we act out our obedience and faith by following God as a local New Testament church member, gaining his richest blessings and rewards. We're going to apply some truths today. I'd like to read the first 9 verses here in Joshua chapter 1, if you'd follow along with me as I read. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. To gain the true blessings, peace, rest, and promises of God, we must enter into the promises of God in obedient faith. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for, Lord, the time to sing, and Lord, just wonderful hearing the voices. Lord, praises to you, our great Savior. Our Father, tonight I pray as the preaching goes forth, God, I need your help. I pray that you be with the words that I say and the thoughts that I think, and God, that you would just intercede. Father, we need your help tonight. Lord, we're looking also at a big project, entering into some great blessings of the Lord. Our Father, I pray that you would help us, give us wisdom, and that's exactly what Israel needs, wisdom. That's what we need in our daily lives. And so, Father, I commit this into thy care. And Lord, should there be someone watching tonight that is not saved, they do not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would call out and stop trusting in religion, stop trusting in good works, and just accept Jesus as their Savior. And for those of us as Christians, God, may we enter into the promises and blessings of God through obedient faith. Lord, I love you. Thank you for being our blessed Savior. In your precious name I pray. Amen. In verse 1, we have kind of a problematic past. The servant of the Lord, Moses, we understand, if you remember, God prevented the nation of Israel from entering the promised land because of why. Let's look here in Numbers chapter 14, verses 26. It answers that question. We might think it could be some colossal error. It could be because of something monumental that they did. I mean, they were cursing God. No, they didn't do that. There were some things that they did do, and there were times that that may have come. But it's something in our lives that I think for every one of us is a problem. And God has to continually remind me. Numbers chapter 14, verse 26, we'll read through verse 32. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur? This is verse 27 of Numbers chapter 14, Numbers 14, 27. Which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I sweared to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. What was it that prevented them? Murmuring. Complaining. I hate this. This isn't going the way I want it. This isn't what I want. And on and on and on. And this manna. And there's no water here. And no, there's no meat here. And da-da-da. You know, all sorts of things. Complain. God says, fine. I'm not going to bring you into the promises. Look, I got you out of Egypt. I got you across the Red Sea. I got you away from all of Pharaoh and his army. I fed you. Oh, by the way, your clothes haven't worn out. Your shoes haven't worn out. And you murmur against me. And God would take 40 extra years to kill out a generation of people that only complained. And Israel can proceed forward for the Lord into the blessed promises of God. The thing that kept them was complaining. It's not good enough. God, where are you? Where's the water? Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. They didn't understand what God was doing. Who is Moses? I'd like you to look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 34. I thought as we come into the project, and I was just talking with Brother Raymond before, and I said, we got a free freezer here a couple days ago. Miss Marietta got it all cleaned up. It looks wonderful. It was a little smelly before, and man, she worked her magic on it, and it's wonderful. We needed more room for more food to put in there, and God provided free. We needed funds to do the work, and God opened up an opportunity to do that. We needed laborers, and you're here. I'm telling you, we are coming into promises, and a great stewardship of God is giving us a thing. God is giving us a great responsibility of a stewardship of His resources. You as His servants, and all of us as His servants. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. They complained a lot against Moses. They were against him. Moses didn't do this right, didn't do that right. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants, to all his land, and all that it might, and all that mighty hand, and all that the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel, God worked for Moses and knew him face to face. You know what? We couldn't even do the siding on this building until we got the foundation settled. We couldn't do the foundation until we got the roof to stop leaking. Little by little, God provided. In a little church here in Thompson, God did it through God's people. I'd like you to look with me at Numbers chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. As Miriam and Aaron, they question Moses. They're against him. Had another blessing with Pembina Valley, allowing us to use their bus to bring up, 24-passenger bus to use to bring up the rest of the crew tomorrow. I mean, it is just one thing after another thing of God's hand. I don't know carpentry, and God gave us a man who's a red seal and a professor in carpentry to head up the whole project. I mean, it is one, and then the lodging situation. As I think about all the stewardship and all the blessings that God has done, I marvel at the goodness of God. Numbers chapter 12, verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and unto Miriam, and come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. But what's precipitating this? In verse 1 of Numbers 12, I need to read that for context. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Moses, you're not the only one that can speak. We have God with us too. We can speak. And Moses, why did you marry that woman? Nag, nag, nag. So God calls him out, verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall ye behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. They didn't understand that there in this particular for Israel, God, Moses was God's chosen servant over as a leader over the nation of Israel. Unafraid to chide and murmur and complain against him. Understanding that we can complain all day long, but ultimately God is working. Now, why was Moses' death listed here in Joshua? You see, when things don't go the way we want them to, it's easy. Like for Israel, we had all this good stuff back in Egypt. They think about all the stuff they had in Egypt, but they don't think about all the bondage and the misery and all the pain of when they lived there under brutal, harsh taskmasters. And we as Christians have a freedom in Christ. And I think many times we forget the goodness of God of salvation and the goodness of God for the peace and the rest that lies before us if we'll just follow him in obedient faith. And the death and the mentioning of Moses here is he had a great testimony. He led them out of bondage. I mean, Aaron, there, you know, why is Moses not allowed to go in the promised land? He made a mistake. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 10 through 12, the Bible tells us, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? What did Moses do? I'll go on, verse 11. Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. What happened? He says, must we fetch you water out of this rock? The moment that we take responsibility for what God does, we have now stolen God's glory. And Moses, as a leader, stole God's glory and was prevented from going into the promised land. We like to have accomplishments. Look what I've done. It's not me that did it. It's God that did it. And all the work that's going to happen and all the wisdom, God has given you men and ladies unbelievable talents through the years of your labors. God's taught you. God's taught me and every one of us certain things in our lives to carry out for the Lord. But the moment that's my talent and my abilities, I'm pushing God aside, and I'm stealing his glory. And God says, Moses, enough is enough. You'll see the promises, but you'll never enter it. Can I tell you that this whole story of entering into the promised land, it makes me afraid at times. There's times you want to quit and give up and say, I'm done. But then I think, am I that complainer that's just about ready to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promises of God? I look at the hardships now, but I don't look at what God has already promised. Because I want to complain, it's hard. I have to continually remind myself, this story probably has such a profound influence on impact on my life because I think times where it's tough. Lord, I don't want to be wandering in the wilderness another 40 years. Lord, I don't want to miss out on the promises that you have because I'm looking at myself and I'm not looking to you. Recognize this, that Israel had been waiting over 400 years to enter into the promised land. And the only thing that kept them there, kept them from it, was unfaithfulness and disobedience. Do you realize that God wants a local New Testament church of faithful, sanctified, servant-like members submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and the leadership the Lord's given? That's what God wants. Move forward, all together, unified, honoring Christ. This idea of sanctification to be set apart to serve the Lord fully. We think that we can have some of God and only some faithfulness to Him, and then God's going to bless me. Well, I've done enough. I've done good enough. I wonder if you could go back and ask those people that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years what their thoughts would be. You realize it was 10 times of just complaining and murmuring and murmuring and murmuring and complaining. And they went in and they saw the promised land. They saw what a wonderful place. They saw the giants. They saw the fortified cities. But they didn't see the God who had already given them that land. And they complained. God, you've given us something too hard. Can I tell you on this project? There's times I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do it. And every time God shows up, God does something. We put up a poster out there, spring, summer, 2024. Originally, we were supposed to do it in the fall. Brother Smith calls me and said, hey, can we do it in June? I said, sounds good to me. That's spring and summer, just as was put up. We didn't even have the money yet, and yet God did it. For Israel to advance to gain the promises of God that He gave them, they had to follow the word of God through their leader Joshua, whom God appointed. Joshua was just a messenger, one set to relay God's message to the nation of Israel so they could inherit God's blessings for their lives and their children's lives. Realize this in Hebrews chapter 10, that Jesus Christ is the head of every local New Testament church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Through this whole process, somehow we've been able to pay off our mortgage. I mean, I can't even... the amount of things that God's done. Even in the early years, getting the building was an amazing feat. Tonight, really, the message of a courageous journey is really about, can I just keep my eyes on the Lord? Can I just be obedient? Can I just be faithful? Many times I want to look at my circumstances and say, it's too hard, I can't do it, it's too much. And I'm telling you, there's a God that can. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. Think about this, Christian, you and I can enter into the very holy of holies. I don't need a high priest anymore. I do it because of the gift of Jesus. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. When He tore that veil, it was then His flesh that is the veil. You got to go through Jesus. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Don't waver in your faith. Having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God says, be faithful to the church. God says, be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize this, that the works that we do are always through New Testament churches? Or New Testament Baptist Church, that works too. One of the gentlemen, a number of the folks coming are from New Testament Baptist Church there in Hamilton, Ontario. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church, in the house of God, excuse me, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Realize this, that every New Testament church which stands upon the word of God is the pillar and ground of the truth. And God works through New Testament churches. How do we advance across the Jordan River, if you would, in our own personal life? See, the journeyings of Israel are very reminiscent of a believer's life. They leave Egypt. They're fearful. They're worrying. New believers worrying about life, worrying about all this stuff. Can I really trust God? I know he saved me, but can I trust him? Then you realize God does a great victory, and you're like, woohoo! Then you begin to get some hard times, and you begin to go mundane, and you're like, oh, I'm just trudging in the wilderness. And then you're like, oh, God's not providing. And then we whine and complain. And I mean, it's really just a picture, a story of many believers' lives. And Israel in the past lost their blessings because of rejecting God's best and instead choosing their own path. I'd like you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 3. Israel lost blessings and the church members lose blessings. And here's the idea here. Now, it talks about Israel, but it also would apply to us as believers today. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Christ is the son of his own house, whose house are we? Fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. Over and over and over again, we can see God work, and then what happens? We complain when things don't go the way we want them to go. That's faith. Israel's unfaithfulness cost them rest. Rest in their souls, rest in the land, peace, blessings, because of unfaithfulness and disobedience. God was ahead of Israel, but he led them through an appointed messenger, Moses, and then Joshua. And they needed to listen and be obedient. says we are obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, the leadership that God's placed in our lives. Israel needed to be attentive to God's commands as they proceeded through the enemy-ridden land of Canaan, the crossing of the Jordan River. You know why God would end up choosing Joshua? In verse 1 of Joshua 1, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Joshua was an incredible leader, but before he ever became a leader, guess what? He was an obedient assistant. He just followed obediently. He was a faithful follower of God. He followed the leader that God appointed. And though the rest of Israel who fled Egypt would say otherwise, Joshua and Caleb were the two men that said, let's enter into the promised land. Yeah, the giants are big. Yeah, there's a big job ahead of us, but God is for us. Let's go. Joshua got training in the desert as a faithful servant to a leader over a whining people. Joshua knew what it is like for the promises of God. He saw the promised land. He's like, man, I can't wait. Can you imagine someone making you wait 40 extra years to get into God's promises? You know what you want to do with that kind of person? Lock them up. Get rid of them. But no, he had to day in and day out. He had to spend life with them. These people want to return to the bondage of Egypt. Even though they've seen some of those spies, they saw Jericho and they saw the promised land. And Christian, we read about what the blessings that God wants to give, and we read about God saying, I'm for you, and peace and rest and blessings. But I'll do it my way. I don't need to listen to that person. And that disobedience and unfaithfulness will cost them the promised land. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Guess what God did on Joshua? Churches, New Testament churches do it today, but I'll talk about it here shortly. But in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did the Lord commanded Moses. What happened here? Moses laid his hands on him, and God's spirit filled him with the wisdom that was needed to lead God's people. And the very selection of the first seven deacons there in Acts chapter 6. The apostles, they pray. They laid their hands on them, and then they commissioned them into the ministry of being a deacon to serve the Lord. The Holy Ghost, men full of faith, obedient men, faithful men. Look with me at Acts 13. You see, God did not lead his people to any leader. He gave them a specific leader that they needed. God was careful. God was cautious. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, you said, how does this all deal with the courageous journey? It's all leading for how God establishes what is necessary before entering into the promises of God. First of all, he gets them there, but he establishes a leader before he leads them. Because people, we need to be led. We need to be led by God. But the people weren't just led. They were led by a man who had faith in God and obedient to God. And Joshua was such a man. And Moses was as well. In Acts chapter 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And we still do that today when we ordain into the ministry. Fast, lay hands on, and send out. We're still following principles and practices from thousands of years ago. You see, God gives a clear direction and a way to go. And God says, follow that leader. There's a proper order for godly succession, and God does not leave this up to man to figure out. Joshua was a man who continued to trust the Lord even though he was the minority. In Joshua's present, God tells Joshua in verse 2 of Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan." You know what's exciting? There's times in our life God says, arise and go. Now it's time to enter into the promises. Arise and go. But what does he say? Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which, what does he say? Which I do give them. The land was never Joshua's. God says, I'm giving you the land. The church, everything that God's done here, God's done. God's given it. Now, I understand that God uses human instruments, human people. But God's done it. Which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And this is an exciting thing. Just embarking on all that God has done in the years here in this community and a number of you that have worked for Brother Smith in the claim ministry and seen God do unbelievable feats in churches all over. God does it. God arranges the right people at the right time to help a church in a particular location to more effectively reach their community for Christ. Israel's assurance, listen, this is the exciting thing. God says, which I do give to them. God says, you've already won the battle. The victory's already won. Sure, there's going to be people against you. Sure, there's going to be hard times. Sure, there's going to be some times of discouragement. God says, I've already given you the land. You just got to work and go do it. God would ask Joshua and the nation of Israel to cross the Jordan River by faith. And they did. They were to cross it in 3 days, verse 11. Israel's assurance of victory rested in God's promise, which was ultimately an act of faith. God says, which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Think about this. God says, I love this. The Lord, when we're in the hard times, God speaks to us and God tries to give us encouragement on how to get right. And then when we're moving forward and we're walking by faith, and some, you know, faith is one of those things you're not seeing. And every step of this way, I said, Lord, I don't know what we're doing. I really don't. I'm not a carpenter at all. Every step for this church, this person steps in and this happens and this happens, and I'm just like, that's awesome. And I'm sure you guys can see it in the churches you've been in your own personal churches back home. God's already given the victory. It's incumbent upon us to do the work that he's called us to do. Every nail at a time, every tract given out that, you know, wherever we may be at. When you leave, it's our responsibility to stay faithful to the Word of God, stay faithful in evangelism, stay faithful in missions, stay faithful in loving our families, loving God. Like you, obviously the first way to receive God's blessing is through salvation, Acts 26, 18. By faith, right? Faith is the key. As complying and murmuring our heart issues, displaying a lack of faith in God. When we complain, we're critical, showing we don't trust God. Faith for salvation, right? Faith, you put your faith, I ask Jesus Christ, forgive me of all my sins and be my Savior. Those are just words. I don't get to see my eternal salvation yet. I don't get to see my time in heaven. I don't get to see the streets of gold. And I don't get to see all that yet. But I do get to see God's presence with me, with you. I do get to experience the rest that God gives, the peace, the joy. In Hebrews chapter 10, and then I'll come to my conclusion this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Here's the truth, friend. So many people want to skip, and they want the promises. They want the rewards. They want the blessings of God. But they're skipping a step. You can't skip that step that I'm going to talk about here. People said, pray for me, and I'll definitely pray for you. But if you're not willing to do what's necessary for God, or put your faith in God, then why is God going to bless when you don't put your faith in Him? You see, God is not some magical slot machine that's free that you can put in your couple prayers, pull the slot machine, and ba-bam, I'm going to win. It doesn't work that way. That'd be man-centered. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God says, listen, just walk by faith. Just move forward. You've got to do. You don't do to be saved. You don't do anything to receive Christ as your Savior. You just trust simply by faith. But at every step that Israel said, you know, when they said, clean your house for Israel on the Passover night, clean your house of all leaven, get all leaven, all yeast out of your house. Put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Put it there. Have your shoes on, ready to leave. Because tonight the death angel's coming over and he's going to kill the firstborn child. What did they do? They obeyed. They did it by faith. They didn't see it yet. Deliverance wasn't there, but God says, you're already out. They did it, and guess what happened? They were delivered. As I draw this to a close, in conclusion, Joshua was about to embark on the biggest responsibility and the privilege of his life. Take leadership, step out by faith to conquer the land that God had long ago promised their forefathers. Now was the time to arise. Now was the time to claim the promises of God. The victory and results of the days ahead lay exclusively with Jehovah God. Anything that was going to happen, the land that was given, and all the reception of that lay in just being obedient for every battle that lay ahead, every enemy that lay ahead. Just ask God and walk in faith and obedience every battle. That's it. That's what God called them to do. I don't need to see that I've won the war. I just need to know what's the next step. What is the next step that God wants me to do? And if we as a church body are to experience the blessings of God, it's going to take obedience and faith. I need to lay aside all the murmuring, complaining, and fulfill God's will. If we persist on our way and not following God's leading, then we will stay in the desert. Any great reward takes a great step of faith. When I ask you tonight, are you willing to follow God's leading? Lay off the personal, selfish pursuits and abandon yourself to follow God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there can be no rewards and no entry into heaven unless you trust that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that I am guilty before the judgment of God, the courtroom of God, I'm guilty. And I ask Him with complete faith to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. And guess what happens? He's always faithful. He forgives. And you're adopted into the family of God as His child, never to lose that blessing. You see, unbelief will not only keep a Christian from the blessed promises of God, but unbelief will bring God's full wrath upon a non-believer in the place the Bible calls and God calls hell. And as a Christian, we have to look at the promises and the blessings ahead of us rather than the hardships we're in to complain. Because I'm keeping my eyes on Christ. I'm keeping it. I just need to be obedient. I need to be faithful to what God has given, the leadership that God's put, and the movement that God's given us. Follow ahead. Brother Smith's leading phase one. Brother Sharp is leading phase two. These men are heading up this project. We'll follow. We'll lead. We'll follow them. Do what these men ask us to do, if you're capable, to get the job done. And in like fashion, God in our lives says, follow me. I've already given you the land. You've already got heaven assured if you're a Christian. But my, it's a whole lot easier in the Christian life if you'll just do it obediently and faithfully. And so with those words tonight, I trust as we'll come to a time of invitation. Number one, can you say, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. I know that. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, I think I'm saved. I think I'm a Christian. But I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I'd love to pray for you. And more importantly, I'd love to sit down with you and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. Number two, Christian, put aside our complaining, murmuring, critical spirit. Be obedient and faithful. Follow the Lord. Follow the leadership that God's given. And watch God do great things. As the music plays tonight, I trust you do business with the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the music will play. And I trust that you just talk with the Lord.